Amen. Amen. Good morning to everyone. It is a blessing to be in the house of prayer. I am thankful, truly thankful, that I'm saved. Amen. Wasn't saved all my life. But I'm saved now. Amen. That's what counts. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord didn't come when I didn't have my business taken care of. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. And I want to take this time to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Also, let us keep in mind that on this day also, as much as for some of us it's a happy Father's Day, but for others, we need to respect those that fathers that have passed on. Amen. While it may be much of a joyous occasion for some of us, but keep in mind that there are some of us that are mourning the loss of their dad. Amen. And we need to respect that. It's the same on Mother's Day as well. We get caught up in the fact that our mothers, our parents are still here, and we celebrate that and we focus on that, but then we don't realize that there is someone who is without their parents, and we need to keep them lifted up. Amen. So let us be mindful. But to me, Father's Day is every day. Amen. There is no off day, and there is no vacation. It's 24/7. Amen. When I lay down, it's still Father's Day. When I get up, it's Father's Day. Amen. I don't take an off day. It's a job that is needed, but not many fathers of men are filling the position. That's the key. A lot of open positions. A lot of open positions. But God has given me a word on this morning. Our classes, I believe, are staying in all. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Say amen. That lets me know you're there. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. For the reading of the scriptures. I try not to be a seasonal preacher. I just try to preach the word of God. Amen. But I would like to send a message to the men, not because it's Father's Day, and I'm not overlooking the women. Women, you can learn from today's message as well. It should be the ultimate desire of every woman to have a husband who is empowered to lead. Amen. God has strategically placed men at the forefront to lead their families into the things of God. Amen. God has given every man the power to subdue their encounters. Utilizing the Bible principles, men are created and designed to lead. Amen. The family is another vehicle whereby the world can see Jesus. Amen. So, the reason I'm speaking to the men today is because somewhere and somehow we have forgotten where we belong in God's design for us. And I believe that men ought to act like men. That's just what I believe. They ought to talk like men. They are to dress like men, and they are to represent like men. Amen? And they need to walk like men. There are some men today who have adopted what we have referred to as an alternative lifestyle. People are afraid or uncomfortable to take a stand against homosexuality these days, including preachers. Amen. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 20 and 13, there's a word that God has. I'm not sure if they have it on the board, but in Leviticus, chapter 20 and 13, it said, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. Disgrace, in other words, an eyesore, that shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That's God's word. That's not my word. Amen. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 27, and it also says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense, that means penalty, or their error which was meet, which is due. In other words, homosexuality is sin, period. Amen? Recompense, penalty. Whenever I hear penalty, let me say this, it don't sound good. Amen? The word of God says not to give place to the devil. The only way we fall into sin is by giving place to the devil. We allow sin by the choices we make, and our flesh dwells nothing good. Nothing good. You are not born a homosexual. It is a learned behavior. You follow me? Just like children. Children are not born to hate people. That is taught. If you put children in a room together, regardless of what race they are, they're going to play with one another. But when someone gets a hold of them and tell them that we do not associate with this race, you are teaching something. Homosexuality is a learned behavior. It's not the result of some warped gene. It's not an acceptable alternative lifestyle. The Holy Word of God says in the first, second chapters of Genesis, God made man and woman, placed them here in a particular order, and whether we like it or not, that order is very important in God's overall design for the world. The Bible says that God has entrusted into man's care leadership, responsibility, and the concerns of this world as we know it. But when we take it upon ourselves to alter or destroy that which God has ordained and commanded, it only leads to chaos and confusion. We talk about our women and how they are trying to take over everything. But if we would stop being wimps, then we wouldn't have to worry about what our women are doing. I have discovered and I've learned. I haven't been here long, but I've been long here long enough to know that women will follow a man who has Christ as the head of his life. Amen. A woman will follow a man who has Christ as the head of his life. Amen? I know that for a fact. You want to know why? Because that person, that man who has Christ as the head of his life, knows who he is and whose he is. Amen? I don't believe that there's anyone who isn't aware that we're living in the last days. And some people may say, well, what is the last days? Well, you can take it this way. It could be your last days. Amen? So we always look at the signs of the time and say, well, when is the last days? Well, it could be your last days. Amen? Many of us may start it off in this year, but we may not make it through this year. Amen? We become so insensitive to sin and suffering. We've seen so much of it that it doesn't bother us anymore. Amen? Scenes of abuse, crime, death, and destruction in everyday occurrence, we've lost our identity as men. And here's the thing, when you lose your identity, you lose your purpose. And when you lose your purpose, you misbehave. That is, you miss the behavior you're supposed to be doing. Many of our youth are misbehaving today because we fail to tell them their purpose and who God is. Men are definitely under attack in this generation. We're under attack. Let me say this to you, and I don't mean no disrespect, but when Mother's Day come, man, you know it. I mean, you know it. You know, but when Father's Day come, man, you can hear crickets rubbing their legs. I mean, people barely say Happy Father's Day, as if it's a crime to say it. We penalize the men that are there. But we take what we've used to seeing, the men that are not there, but the men that are there, we penalize and punish them. It's an attack. Men, this goes to the men that need some growing up. The Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul talks about when we were children, we did things as children. But when we became men, we put away our childish things. If we're going to truly be men, we've got to put away childish things. Now, the question is, since we said child, how does a child act? A child wants to have their cake and ice cream too. So do many of us. We want to be Christians but still dibble and dabble in the world. We still want to go to the club, play with the drugs and alcohol, and still receive the favor of God. A child will whine and cry when he doesn't get his way. A child is ungrateful, unappreciative, and selfish in many respects. So are many of us. It's time for us to grow up. To understand what it means to be a man, we have to go back to the beginning, to the foundation. I'm going to paraphrase, but you can check it out in Genesis 1 and 1, and then in verse 26 and 28. It says, in the beginning, God called everything into being. In verse 26, we come to where God says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. God made man in his image to look like him, not physically, but spiritually. We are, after all, really spirit beings, and God made us after his likeness. That means we were made to possess the very character of God. So we're supposed to be acting like God. Genesis 1 and 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the flesh of the sea and over the fowls of the earth and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God commanded us to be fruitful. This wasn't a suggestion. God is saying, be productive. Jesus cursed the fig tree because it wasn't productive. God is serious about this. Even though it looked like a fig tree and smelled like a fig tree, it didn't have any fruit. God is looking for fruit in us. From the very beginning, God gave man dominion. The word dominion means to have authority and power to rule. The word authority means the legal right to act. This means that the authority is ordained of God and accountable to God. Listen to this. The authority is ordained of God and accountable to God. Authority is also positional. By this, I mean God goes to the position, not the person in the position necessarily. For example, God goes to the office of the president of the United States. It doesn't matter to God who the president is. Remember in Genesis, here's my point. It doesn't matter who the president is. In Genesis, God didn't go to Joseph, a righteous man. When he wanted to tell of the coming famine, God went to an ungodly Pharaoh because he held the position of authority. So stop tripping off of Donald Trump. My, can't we just leave it alone? God goes to the position, not the person. Man, God goes to the position of the husband and father in the same way. Listen to me. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I've commanded thee that thou should not eat? Notice, God went to who? Adam, who he has ordained. He went to the head. He didn't go to Eve. He went to the position. Listen to this. Satan had one objective in mind. He is the solicitor of evil. He solicited Eve and Adam into sin. He solicited their obedience to God. He wants to corrupt God's creation. Having authority doesn't bring greater freedom. Authority brings greater responsibility. So men, you have been given authority and dominion, which is ordained by God. In Genesis chapter 1 and 31, we find everything God made was what? Good. God didn't make anything bad, terrible, including you. God didn't do that. God's ability to do all things and comprehend all matters also prevents him from making any mistakes. Great is our Lord and in might, in power, and in strength. His understanding has no limits. Has no limits. Amen. If you don't believe me, read Psalms 147, chapter 5. Do some homework. God has made no mistakes in his creation of the world. God's infinite wisdom, infinite power, and infinite goodness combined to produce a perfect world. At the end of 6 days of creation, God surveyed all he had made and pronounced it very good. There was no exception or qualification or disappointment, just the statement, very good. That was it. God is not a human that he shall lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Unlike man, God makes no mistakes and has no afterthoughts leading to a change of mind. God makes no decrees that he must later annul because he did not consider all the consequences, because he did not possess the power to fulfill. God is not like man, whose sinfulness requires judgment. Not only did God command men to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over the earth, he also told us that we were made good. Most men are confused, frustrated, unhappy, because we're not living a victorious life as we know we should. We instinctively know we're destined to do better. We have to understand that we are to do better. When Eve fell to the devil, it wasn't Eve the devil was after. The devil was really after Adam the entire time. Listen to what I'm telling you. He wanted Adam. Didn't really want Eve, but he settled for Eve. He used Eve to get to Adam. If only Eve had eaten of the tree, God could have fixed things. But when Adam ate, the devil knows if the man ever finds out who he is, the whole family will also come into the image and the likeness of God. That's why the attack is on man so great. That's why it's hard for people to recognize a man, to give respect to a man. Because the attack is on the head, which God has ordained. If you don't believe me, anything in the Bible that God has ordained, that has put there, I guarantee you there's an attack on it. Why? Because the enemy does not like anything that God has put in place. So anything that God has put in place, the devil is going to do everything he can to tear it down. Anything he can. He gets us to look at things as that should not be, and he tries to get us to see it as it should be. That's what the devil does. He constantly comes at you. Listen to what I'm telling you. God wants you to be all being. God wants you to be all you can be according to his will and purpose for your life. God also wants you to walk in one area that he has predestined for us, and that is to rule in your kingly and priestly position. He has purpose for us. We learned this, and this was taught in our men's ministry about being in the place of a king and royalhood and all of that. The Bible says that you are a king and a priest. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're more than a conqueror. Listen to this. Being a king means ruling, making decision on behalf of others, being the head on behalf of others, being responsible, accountable for and to others, protecting others and serving others. In return, a king can, should be able to expect to be respected, served, and honored. Now, what does being a man mean to you? Men are developed, not born. Men are developed, not born. If you were born a male child, you have great potential to become a man. But you're not born a man. You have to learn how to become a man. It's the man's job to instruct the children. That's why in Proverbs it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. But men, we leave this responsibility to the women.
And that's why these men are coming up all with their wrists broken and everything, because we're leaving the responsibility up to them. You don't think this boy would pick up some feminine ways if he's always around a woman? We are creatures of habit. What we see is what we mock and what we do. You need to put them around a man. You don't go to the bathroom sitting down. We stand up. Amen. Men, we have left that responsibility totally to the women. We need to be involved in raising up the children. Men, God is talking to us. Becoming a man isn't necessarily attaining a certain chronological age. And man, you can be a 65-year-old boy. Amen. You could be a 12-year-old man. It depends on how you conduct yourself. Amen. American society says that when you reach the age of 21, you're a man. That's what the world says. But just because you live long enough to get that old does not mean that you have matured to be a man. Amen. A man is or should be always under construction. We should be constantly growing and maturing emotionally and spiritually. Man, God has designed us for greatness. God said you are made in his image, in his likeness. That means you are made to be victorious. God knew who you were coming into this world. He already knew. He didn't get taken by surprise when you showed up on the scene. God didn't say, whoa, where did that guy come from? I wasn't expecting him. Let me hurry up and get something together for his life so he won't face these disappointments and struggles. God didn't do that. He didn't do it like that. God didn't say, oh my God, I didn't notice. Man was, oh shoot, what am I going to do now? We don't serve that kind of God. God has never made a mistake. He has had a purpose in everything, and outcomes are no surprise to him. For he declares the end from the beginning. I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Find somebody that's bigger and better than me. God said, I don't know him. And if God don't know him, I don't know him either. He's declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew who you were. And knew thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nation. In other words, I already had a plan for you because I knew you was coming. I even named you, which means I have authority over you. God has nothing but good plans for us. God knew you have challenges, but he's made everything available that you need to be victorious. But this good we are speaking of doesn't come automatically, because it takes obedience and loyalty to God's principle. It takes surrender, which is hard for men to do. But it is possible. But we have failed, and we are failing because we choose to live by our own rules other than the rules of God. The Bible says, listen to this, watch this. This is where we're messing up at. The Bible says the greater one is in you. Okay, so now we said, all right, and we say this. We all say the greater one is in us, which is the Holy Spirit. We're saying that is living on the inside of us, and that is true. I believe that. But watch this. I say to you that the greater you is also on the inside trying to get out. So what we see of you isn't the you that God created you to be. You're still trapped on the inside with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you this. It's what you feed is what's going to win the war. So if you feed yourself, yourself is going to win. But if you feed the Holy Spirit with the word of God, it will take over in your life. So yes, there is a greater you inside. But be careful when they say that, because you are trying to come out. Let the Holy Spirit come out instead. Being a man doesn't just mean reading and living God's word. It also means passing it on. Amen. Why should I keep everything that I know to myself and not pass it on to my son? That is selfish. I'm not even a man if I do that. I cannot sit here and keep everything to myself and not tell my son. That's not being a man. One of the things that David did, he may have did a lot of things wrong, but he did pass down some things to his son. Amen? He passed down some things to Solomon. That's who I'm speaking of. Before he died, he checked out, he passed them on to Solomon. So we need to pass things on to our children. The youth of today is without question living in a shortage of God, of good fathers, mentoring them. The many mistakes we made as a child should not be implemented over again in our children. Amen? It shouldn't be. The best teachers are not the experience, but the instructions we put before them. Amen? Don't say experience is the best teacher. No, it's not. Okay, go out there and get hit. Oh, get the, know that now. That's not the best teacher. It's the instructions you put before your children. And you teach them that this is what you should and should not do. When there are no mentors, then every child is being subject to destruction without instructions. God wants us to be a man for the word. King David demonstrated this, as I just said, to his son. He gave him instructions. It was important to David to pass on to Solomon God's word than the riches he had. We need to understand something here, that the coming of Jesus is sooner than we think. Jesus could come at any second now. Paul says that knowing the time, the believer is to know the time. The word knowing means to make sure you know. Do not dare miss knowing. The word time means the critical period or the special period of time. What is that critical period of time? What is that period of human history that we must not overlook? It's the time that we wake up to some things in life. We've been asleep long enough. So many Christians are slumbering and paying no attention to what's going on in the world. Too many are not watching. Too many are not observing the signs of the times. There are too many today with little commitment to Christ and serving him. It's time to be awakened, to be aroused and stirred. It's time to get up and move and act now. Look at the world situation. Look at the signs. Look at yourself. Look at your body and its condition. Look at life and its uncertainty. Look at the time. The day of our redemption is nearer than it's ever been. And I'm trying to tell you that Jesus is on his way. And we need to know this. Because if you don't know this, you will be left behind. So dads, men, this is what the children around you need to see. They need to see men who are not afraid to approach Jesus. They need to see men who are not ashamed to kneel down before the Lord in public and in the home. They need to see a man who, like Jairus, will admit before God, their families, and everyone else that they are helpless and hopeless without the help of the Lord. Right. Amen. You remember, Jairus brought Jesus home with him. And we need to bring Jesus home with us as well. My thing is, I'm going to say this to you. do your children know that you're saved? That's not a trick question. I'm just saying, do they know that you're saved? Do your children know your personal testimony of salvation? Do your children remember a time when you, their father, personally shared the gospel with them? Do they know that? Do your children see you in prayer before the Lord? Do they see you? Do they see you? I'm trying to get you to understand. Are they looking at and watching you? And are you doing the things that you should be doing in front of them so they can also worship the Lord the same way? Do your children see you talking godly leadership of the home? Do your children know that God comes before everything else in your life? It is a shame when men are more likely to chase a golf ball on Sunday than seek God on Sunday morning. It is a shame when men send their families to church while they stay at home. It's a shame when men fail to love the Lord with all their hearts, and when they fail to lead their families to the same devotion. Let me tell you something. It's a shame when men don't do the things that God has ordained them to do. The children around us must be seeking the Lord. They must see us setting the example of approaching Jesus. It is a lesson when learned. When we're not teaching the children. We need to understand that how they act is the result of how you're acting. Amen? Oh, it is. It is a result of how you're responding. How you respond to something is how your children are going to respond to something. Is it that important to take this trip, or is it that important to pay your tithes? Amen? Is the trip that important, or is your tithes that important? They need to know the difference. Men, it is our responsibility to lay the children within the sphere of our influence before the Lord and trust Him for their spiritual upbringing and their salvation. Listen to this. As I said, when Jairus came to Jesus, he told the Lord of his great need. Then he immediately invited Jesus to come to his house. Jairus brought Jesus home with him. He was not ashamed to confess Christ in public. He was not ashamed to bring Jesus home to confess him before all those in his house. And again, Jairus lays out a challenge for men today. Going to church is one thing, but to bring Christ home with you is a whole nother thing. I would remind you that the responsibility for the spiritual formation of our children does not rest on the shoulders of the church. Doesn't rest on the shoulders of anyone else but you. It's your responsibility for training the children in the things of God in the home. And men, as the head of the home, the responsibility begins and ends with you. That's your responsibility. We don't leave that responsibility to anyone else. We need to take charge of our home, because after all, God is going to the position of the home. And if he finds that the position in the home is not right, he will deal with the position and with the people that's not in position. This is one of the reasons why I always say, get in position. This is why you always hear people talk about in sports, get in position, get in position, or on your job, get in position. Many times we are caught out of position. We need to understand that being in position is where God has ordained you to be. God ordained me to be a pastor, I'm going to be a pastor. God ordained, if he ordained me to be an usher, I'm going to be an usher. If he ordained me to be a musician, I'm going to be a musician. If he ordained me to be a deacon, I'm going to be a deacon. But what he has ordained you to be in position. Don't try to be something you're not. God is not telling the snowflake to be a raindrop. He's telling the snowflake to be a snowflake. He's telling the raindrop not to be a snowflake. He's telling it to be a raindrop. If he wanted the raindrop to be a snowflake, he would have made it a snowflake. We need to understand our position. And we need not get caught out of our position. Because when you look, when you get caught out of your position, it hurts everybody. Amen? Men, as I close, men, we can't reach over and hit the snooze button. We can't. This, it doesn't work that way in the spiritual. I mean, you may be able to do that in the natural, where you can reach over and you can hit that snooze button. But man, in the spiritual, Lord have mercy, you can't hit that snooze button. It's time to get up to what? Our purpose. Shining the light, proclaiming the gospel, the good news, our position. We have right standing with God through Jesus Christ. We have right standing with Jesus Christ. The prophetic hour in which we live, Jesus coming soon, may the Holy Spirit impress our hearts and mind and the urgency of the hour. Not hit the snooze button, but the hour that's at hand. We need to awaken and be about our Father's business. We cannot continue as we are. There has to be a change. There has to be a difference. There's a spirit of God that is inside of us that wants to come forth. But in order for it to come forth, we got to feed that spirit. And it has to feed off of the word of God. And if it's not feeding off of the word of God, then it's feeding off of you. And if it's feeding off of you, no good thing is going to come from you because you're in this flesh. Amen. I'm not trying to fuss. I'm just trying to get you to understand that we are living in the last days. What is the last days, Pastor? Individually. This could be our last days. But we ought to be ready when Jesus comes. Amen.